Welcome to a brand new episode of Radio Free Nintendo, courtesy of NintendoWorldReport.com. I'm your host, Carl Castaneda, and on this show, we've got a rather different crew. All the way over in Jersey, it's our resident Jersey boy, Neil Ronahan.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Neil. And then all the way in Alaska, on day 13 of his 30 Days of Night, Zach Miller.
It's getting lighter, shut up.
All right. And then all the way over in his own private Iowa, Andy Gergen.
Hello!
How's it going, Andy?
It's going well.
Well, yeah, so we're here on for Radio Free Nintendo. Since, you know, they're taking the week off, we figured we might as well fill the void, as it were. You know, we're filling that void for those people who are the desperate listeners.
The dark void.
Far be it from us to say you don't get your podcast hit this week.
Yes, exactly. So you need to have your RFN, so we're giving it to you, and you're going to take it, whether you like it or not. This is going to happen.
This is getting a little
wow.
Foolish for me.
I'm liking this.
Neil, calm down.
So since it is RFN, folks, why don't we go ahead and start it off with some new business. And as it happens, since I actually haven't been on a podcast in a while, PAX East excluded, I figured I'd kick us off with the new business. And turns out a lot of my new business is WiiWare. I don't know how much I can say about it, but there is something coming up on the site that has to do with WiiWare. And so as it turns out, I've been assigned a few things. The one thing I really want to talk about is the art of balance, it's just art of balance. There's no the, and it is awesome.
Really?
Like I wasn't
yeah,
really.
Yeah, actually, I'm gonna butt in here and just say why
it.
Art of Balance is even on that list for WiiWare. Because we did the DSiWare feature, as I hope everyone listening knows about. If not, go check it out. It's still on the site. It always will be. But we're also doing a WiiWare feature for the second anniversary. And I compiled the list from looking at it. And then we also asked forum people out there to recommend some games. And one of them was Art of Balance. So I threw it on the list. And then I guess, Carl, I don't know how you heard of it, but...
I hadn't heard of it. I actually picked all of my games for that thing randomly.
What is Art of Balance?
Okay, well, Art of Balance is basically, it is what it sounds like. You literally have a set of blocks that are in different shapes, and you have to stack them up onto one another in a way that they balance. They have to balance for 3 seconds. And if you can get them to balance for 3 seconds, you move on to the next stage.
Is this done using the balance board?
No. This is all done with the Wii Remote. You click A to choose a piece, and then you click A again to drop it. And so you basically have this, it's kind of like a really large tub of water, and then in that tub of water there's like a stone, and you have to get it to stay on the stone and not fall out into the into the water.
Cool.
So it's really, really simple. It starts off really, really easy, actually, and then within like 5 or 6 levels, it gets really, really hard. So it's definitely a whole lot of fun. I've been playing a lot more of it than I thought I would be. I sort of figured it would be kind of like a one-trick pony where, you know, you'd kind of get over the novelty of stacking things over pretty quickly, but it is as good, if not better, and I'm saying this with total conviction, than Jenga.
Wow. I'm kind of picturing like those stages in World of Goo where you're like stacking up the bricks to get higher and higher.
Yeah, a little bit. There actually is one part of the game where you also have these, you know, basically the way you get through levels, you have to get a certain amount of rings, and you get a ring for completing a level. And there are other levels that have a higher yield of rings, but they're also extremely hard. And some of those are actually stacking to a height. So instead of focusing on just getting it to balance, you have to get it to balance and also reach a certain height.
Hmm.
And so in that way, it is kind of similar to that. And no, it is really, really good. The multiplayer, I haven't had too much of a chance to try out yet, but I can only imagine it's just as good, if not better, than the single player.
Yeah,
sounds
definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah, this is one of those games that I thought would be kind of WiiWare shovelware, but I guess it's not.
No, it's so good. It is
awesome.
Really, really, really good. It came out about 6 weeks ago, and yeah, I definitely recommend it. The other thing I've been playing is probably not something we need to go too deeply into, but it's Phoenix Wright Justice for All, which was originally a DS game, which was actually originally a GBA game. So it's not, you know, it's pretty simple.
Is that the second or third one?
It's the second one.
Okay.
And I didn't review the first one, but I played a lot of it, and I really, really liked it a lot. Actually, my least favorite part of the first one was the DS exclusive level. I thought that one was really, really terrible. It was not nearly as good as the rest of the game. So that kind of put me off getting any of the other later games. But then I turned on my Wii for this WiiWare feature, and I noticed that I had 3,000 points that I just never used.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Send me something.
I was like, oh, crap. I guess I should pick up some stuff. So I got, Art of Balance, and I ended up getting Cubella also for this feature, but you don't need to play that. and then also Phoenix Wright, and Phoenix Wright has been totally fun. It's so awesome. I mean, it's a port of the GBA game, so it's from the original line of the series, and it's great. It's more Phoenix Wright. It's really cool cases. They add in this box that where you unlock hidden feelings within the witnesses to get them to crack. I mean, this has been gone over by a ton of different people, so I won't go too heavily into it, but it's good. You should play it.
Yeah, and
if you haven't played it already, why not?
Definitely. I mean, I reviewed Ace Attorney Investigations earlier this year, which is kind of like the same thing, but even better. So
the series
is still going strong.
Oh yeah, it's great. I love Phoenix Wright. It's always a joy. Because the episodes you can pop them in, play for about a half an hour, get to the next save point. So it's really good for popping and play kind of gaming.
I've been borrowing the first one on DS from staff writer Grant Buell, who was on here last week, and it's been on my next thing to play docket for about a month and a half now, but. Haven't quite got there yet.
You can't go wrong with Phoenix Wright. It's just, the writing is really funny, although it's not really as good as the first game. I think the first game probably had the strongest writing.
Sure.
It's great fun. If you're into detective / lawyering, it's not one to be missed.
Nice.
Not to be confused with laundering.
Not to be confused with laundering. Right.
Lawyering, laundering, what's the difference?
Exactly. So that's my new business, so I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to Zach.
All right. Well, I had kind of a retro kick this week. I have been trying to get some PS2 games done that I never finished in the first place years and years ago. And so I've been playing Odin Sphere, which is
game. That's from the Vanillaware guys. Vanillaware, right?
Yes, same people, and you can tell it's the same art style.
As you call it.
Yeah, however you say it. Whatever. Sword fighting game.
Right.
But Odin Sphere, I like it for the art.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it's kind of slow and boggy. The biggest problem I have with it is that anytime there's more than two enemy characters on the screen, slowdown is really awful.
That's a really big problem. It really taxes the PS2 a lot.
Yeah, and you can tell because it's a beautiful game.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But, yeah, every time you get particle effects going, it just, two frames a second for a while. That's a big stumbling block. But also, it throws a lot of shit at you really fast. I don't know if anyone here has played Odin Sphere.
I played a bit of it, and yeah, it does kind of, you sort of get in, and then they throw a lot of enemies at you at once before you're really used to it.
Yeah, and not just
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I borrowed it from a friend and had the same.
Just a lot of stuff to learn really fast. Mm-hmm. Alchemy and cooking and planting seeds and item resource management.
That's
and,
where I think Muramasa kind of got that style of game. Muramasa is definitely an evolution of Odin Sphere, because that kind of, I guess, makes it more where it's focused on the fighting, and then a lot of, you can, make swords in that game. It's kind of, they introduced that little more organically, and alchemy is kind of gone.
I don't know if any of you guys played their previous game to Odin Sphere, Princess Crown?
No, but I've heard of that.
Yes.
It's a Saturn game. It's kind of difficult to find, so don't go looking for it, but if you happen to come across it, I guess, it's sort of like Odin Sphere, but way harder and way more, let's throw more things at you at once, and it's definitely a really hardcore version of Odin Sphere, and it's actually close to being as beautiful as Odin Sphere is. It's a really gorgeous looking game, but yeah, I think they've sort of moved away from that, because Princess Crown came out for the Saturn, and then they didn't have a game come out for 7 years.
Yeah, I don't even know. Wow. I don't really follow those guys too closely. I don't really know why there's a huge gap there.
I think they had a couple false starts, and they eventually just moved on to
Odin Sphere. I think Muramasa, I believe that was the idea for that game was supposed to be made 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the same deal as Too Human, where they've been working on it for 10 years, but did they really work on it for 10 years?
Yeah.
And it shows.
Well, I don't know how much farther I'm going to go in it. I haven't even finished the first character's Gwendolyn's story, but it's really. There are parts of it that are just too frustrating for me, especially the resource management. You always have too much stuff.
Right.
So you're always dropping things. I never know what to drop, and maybe that's just
I always hate that in games where they give you just so – they throw so much shit at you. It's like, what is that?
Yeah, especially if you do well, if you get, like, a good grade on a mission in this game, you get, like, 8 things.
And you don't know what to use them for.
And you don't know
like,
which
well,
one
do I
keep.
Keep this or do I drop this?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I like it. It's a gorgeous game, and I don't know how much more patience I'm going to have for it. Then the wife let me get Wii Fit Plus because I, you know, I got a coupon in the mail for $5 off, so I got it for $15. And I have been using it more. You know, I haven't played Wii Fit for probably a year. And, you know, it's Wii Fit, but more stuff. I like it. I was able to make a profile for my cat and my corgi.
So as someone
Corgi doesn't like being picked up to be weighed.
As someone who has Wii Fit and also I guess fell off the horse like you did,
fell off the balance board.
Yeah, fell off the balance board and then I guess fell on it. And what was that thing that happened where it was like someone fell off a balance board and hit something on their body that gave them constant orgasms?
Nice.
Yeah, like
anyone
what?
Else
like,
read that
they
was
like
kind of
pinched.
Fucked up.
Yeah, some girl in the UK like pinched a nerve, and now like every 5 seconds she like needs to have sex or she goes crazy.
Yeah, wow. I felt like
sure
it was
that's
a joke.
Pre-existing condition.
Yeah, it's very possible.
But anyway, as someone who fell off the balance board and is kind of considered Wii Fit Plus, but haven't really felt the urge to go out and get it, do you think it's worth it?
You know, if you liked Wii Fit and you played it for, like, 6 months, like I did, religiously, sure. It'll get you interested in it again. And some of the some of the new games are really fun, like the obstacle course and the chicken flying.
I remember checking out all the balance board. Like, I covered all that at E3 last year, and all those were a lot of fun. It just by the time the game came out, it came out in fall, and I just was so overwhelmed then that I just didn't care.
Oh, yeah. And there are new exercises, like 3 new yoga poses, all of which are extremely painful for me to do. Most of the normal ones are painful for me to do. And new exercises that I'll probably never actually touch, but no, it's a good deal. And I got it for $15, and so, you know, I don't regret it at all.
Yeah, I might have to pick that up at some point, maybe after I'm done school and have more time when I'm jobless.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you'll have plenty of time to get fit with Wii Fit Plus.
When you don't have a job and you just graduated college.
Put that on the box.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is a good one. Put that on the box.
Unemployed and overweight?
Yeah. It's only $20 if you bought a balance board 2 years ago.
Have we got the blue ocean for you?
Now, Zach, I see that the next game on your list here is Dead or Alive Paradise. And I have to ask you, is it really a game?
Yeah, it is.
Sexmo.
Sort of.
Sexmo.
Sexmo.
Oh, gosh.
That's your quote on the staff profile right now. Or is Johnny being like, I think Carl just said sexmo. I don't know if you added that or if, like, Lindemann did, but I noticed that.
It.
Oh, okay.
That was awesome.
Although, if I can just briefly interject here, my actual favorite quote of PAX is something that I can't put on the site because I think Johnny would be too pissed, but I'll tell you guys later.
Excellent.
Right. I think I know what it is, but we'll talk about it later.
I think you do too. Okay, but please continue.
Is this the story you told us last week, Neil?
It might be. It might be. We'll talk about it at the break.
All right. Well, as probably all three of you know, I'm a horrible sex addict. I can't get enough. So when I saw this...
we all learned something about Zach's wife today.
I have to wonder what the tie ratio is between this game and the list of sexual predators.
Well, isn't the ESRB rating is even just... It's, like, creepy.
Yes,
yeah,
like... and then they retracted it, but yeah, that...
They retracted it?
Zach, I'm wondering, when you bought this game, did you have to sign some sort of registry?
No, but the cashier just gave me kind of a look, you know, at GameStop.
And you told her, hey, look, this is for science.
That's right, this is for science.
I have a grant, see?
But, you know, I own and have played and enjoy the original Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, because it's a real game and it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about the whole gifting aspect of it. I don't know if you guys know, but it's kind of a dating sim.
Right.
Okay. So it's like Sakura Wars?
Oh, God. Yes, and then you get into a giant mech and stomp around the island.
If only.
But only after the first 2 hours.
Yeah.
but no, the first game had volleyball, it had pool hopping, a butt-bumping game, and casinos, and... But
oh, my.
So it's kind of like Steel Battalion, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Wow.
The controls are very hard to master.
Bait? Master bait?
you only have to play with one hand. But no, the first game was good, but I never cared for the dating sim aspect where you have to figure out what each girl likes and then give them stuff. And then I didn't play the Xbox 360 sequel because I don't have an Xbox 360, although you can bet that if I did.
It's probably cheap now, dude. Just wait for the Xbox 360 Slim and then get it.
There you go. I do long to someday own all three next-gen consoles.
Well, now that you can use thumb drives on the 360, there's no reason to buy the hard drive.
You can?
What? Yeah, they just put it out so you can use up to 16-gig thumb drives in two of them if you want.
Wouldn't a 16-gig thumb drive cost as much as an Xbox 360?
Oh, no. They're about 16-gig thumb drives.
Zach,
about
you are misinformed, sir.
I am.
You can get big thumb drives for very cheap.
Yeah, thumb drives it'll be like $30 for a 16-gig thumb drive.
That's not bad.
Yeah, something like that.
As opposed to paying like $100 for the Microsoft 60-gig hard drive.
Or the 20-gig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, or the 20-gig.
Yeah, I'm one of those suckers who got stuck with the 20.
That sucks. I had one for a long time.
So like arcade machine plus 16
plus
mic,
like
16
plus
maybe
thumb drive. One, you can get two of them. You can't get anything bigger than a 16-gig. It has to be at least 16-gig.
Oh, I see. That's a limitation.
But you can get two 16-gig thumb drives for still, like, less than the price of a 60-gig hard drive.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I might do that someday. And then I'll go out and find Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, too.
Exactly.
Exactly. But Paradise,
I look forward to hearing about it.
I do, too. My wife will look forward to having to watch me play it.
I'm sure.
But Dead or Alive Paradise is kind of a shrunken down version of, from what I gather, shrunken down version of the second game. And they've really, really played up the dating sim aspect.
So you don't like it so much?
I don't like it so much. There is volleyball, but it's the most simplistic volleyball in the world.
Nah.
Well, did the Xbox One even have the word volleyball in the title?
The Xbox One did. The Xbox Two One did not.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
And this one doesn't either, and it shows.
Okay. Yeah.
Really, the most exciting thing in this game is the casino, because I can actually win at blackjack. But I'm not great with the volleyball, because it gives you it shows you one of those, like, Madden-esque loading screens, which is, here's all the controls for 5 seconds.
Oh.
And now I'll take them away. Go for it. So I haven't really figured out how to play the volleyball yet. And then the pool hopping game is basically the only other game that you can play right off the bat. And it's hampered because it can't tell when you're doing a tap on the button or a long press.
Ooh.
It's a
sensitivity issue.
It just seems like a crappy game.
Oh, it is. It is.
Wow.
If it weren't for the ogling, it would be totally worthless. Boobs. Probably paid too much for it.
Well, speaking of gratuitous nudity, Andy, what have you got for us?
Hell yeah!
I have been playing God of War 2. This is sort of something I've been doing now for a couple of years, where once, like in April-ish, I'll get tired of sitting in my basement. So instead of using my nice gaming setup in the basement, I'll come upstairs and play video games in the living room. Sort of my alternative to actually going outside.
It's the closest.
The sun comes in.
So yeah, the system I have upstairs is my PS2. So this time last year, I started going on a PS2 kick where I start playing through all the PS2 games I had missed. Like last year it was God of War 1, and this year it's God of War 2.
I sense a pattern.
So yeah, I also played Ratchet and Clank last year, and I'm probably gonna play Ratchet and Clank 2 next. But I've been I put about, I don't know, maybe 8-ish hours into it so far, and I had heard a lot of sentiments early on when the games first came out that God of War 2 was by far the superior game, and having played it for a while now, I don't know that I believe that.
I still haven't played God of War 2. I have the collection on PS3, and I played through God of War 1 again, which I really enjoyed, and then I just didn't feel like playing another God of War game.
It looks really good, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
It's clearly very similar. I mean, the game is not that different. They give you some new weapons, but really, it is the same thing over again, and that's fine, because it's not like the first one was, you know, completely unique to begin with anyway.
Yeah.
It's a really pretty, really well-executed beat-em-up, and that's what it was last time, too. But it's still a lot of fun. I think one of the reasons I'm maybe not enjoying this one as much as I enjoyed the first one, as I was telling Zach this earlier via email, that at some point, without realizing it, when I was playing God of War 1, I had accidentally dropped the difficulty level too easy because it asks you when you die X number of times if you want to lower it, and I didn't know that until probably many hours until I had done it.
You just saw that screen and said, "Do you want to continue?" Yes.
You pulled a Mike Sklens and just hit A willy nilly.
Oh, Mike.
So yeah, I finished God of War 1 with not much resistance and thought, man, this game was a lot of fun. It didn't put up much of a fight, so I didn't get frustrated. What a great gaming experience. I didn't find it to be too easy. I thought it was not frustratingly hard, but not too easy, and apparently it was the right difficulty level for me, because I've been getting very frustrated at God of War 2. Making a conscious effort to not lower the difficulty has lessened my enjoyment of the game, which probably speaks volumes to to me as a gamer. I am... Let's see. I'm the Sisters of Fate. I'm getting to the Sisters of Fate. I got the part where there's a translator, and you have to force him to read a book.
Wow,
and there's
you're
two
close
of them.
To the end.
Yeah, I just forced the second translator to read the book, and I have a feeling. Yeah, I've got to be pretty close to the end. I've put a lot of hours into this already. So, but yeah, I mean it is what it is. I'm enjoying it. I think it'd probably be more fun if I was playing it on the PS3, which I don't have yet, but I will have soon. But To be perfectly honest, one of the things that playing God of War has reminded me is that the PS2 is a really impressive system when it wants to be. Like, that game is gorgeous.
It's just like the Wii.
Yeah, exactly. there are some breathtaking visuals in God of War 2, and I'm playing on a really shitty 19-inch CRT from, you know, 2002. I mean, this TV is...
You're playing on
not
an arcade
that...
machine.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's impressive to me that this game can still really surprise me with the visuals, all things considered. But
and it was one of the last games that released on the PS2.
Yeah, because it was released, what, 2006 or 2005?
I think maybe even 07.
It was 07, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, it well,
or no, the original was 05, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original was I think, late 04, maybe. It might have been January of 05. And then I think... Yeah, God of War 2 must have been... You know what? I think it actually might have been late 06, because I don't think it came out after the PS3.
Yeah, that was my thought.
I think it did.
Weird for it to come out
actually,
PS3.
Going
really?
Back
did
to
it?
Well, we're going to be all wrong right. on this, so let's just not get into it anymore.
Either, no matter what we pick, we'll probably be wrong, so... 06.
Anyway, long story short, I'm enjoying it. I'm pretty close to the end, like Zach said, I think. But I've learned that I suck at video games, but that's nothing new.
Whatever.
Andy, there's a section coming up before you get to the sisters themselves, that you will throw your controller around if you don't lower the difficulty for one section.
Awesome. If you want to feel better about your own gaming prowess, our good old buddy Billy Berghammer put up a video of him playing God of War 2 way back in the day on Game Informer's website, and it is not flattering. basically, it's
I think I saw
him.
That.
It was basically 10 minutes of him trying to open a chest, getting attacked by dogs.
Right, yes. Yes.
Well,
awesome.
Like, they keep throwing me into a battle with like three or four Gorgons and like a whole bunch of other bad guys too. So you're fighting the other bad guys and the Gorgons turn you to stone, and if you don't reflect their evil stone vision or escape the stone before anyone else hits you, it's like a one hit kill basically.
Well, if you roll around, it won't affect you, you know.
If you roll around, okay. Yeah. I think I probably should try that more often.
Maybe. Yeah. Alrighty, well, Neil, why don't you go ahead and bring us home?
Alright, first I'm going to kick off with my very, very new business. Just a few hours ago, I went to an event in New York City to check out EA Sports Games, and pretty much what I checked out that was there was NBA Jam and EA Sports Active 2.0. And NBA Jam is freaking awesome. It's basically like just an updated version of the original game. The whole mantra of the game is, you know, stay as true as you can to the original. They've gotten like one of the Mark Turmel, who originally worked on NBA Jam. He works at EA Tiburon, which is in Florida, and I think the guys who are making this are in Vancouver. And he actually like consulted them on it, and supposedly when they first worked with him, he gave them a list of like 50 things that are like, this isn't how we would have done it in the original game, please change this. So it's really, it's got that spirit captured. And as far as the actual gameplay, I mean, well, visually it looks very impressive. And like the kind of, as goofy as it looks, it really works how they have like the actual heads and have kind of like those like four frames of animation for each character.
Neil, I like how you said, you kind of implied now and, well, Andy was talking about God of War, how if developers put effort into it, that Wii is a good-looking system.
I mean, it's not the most impressive looking thing in the world, but it just works really, really well for the style of game. It flows fine and everything. There is no slowdown, and the teams that I got to see the LA Lakers versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. They pretty much just had that on repeat. I think someone at some point picked the New York Knicks, but because, you know, the game's not coming out until fall, the New York Knicks were just wireframe characters.
Nice.
So I got to see a little bit of that, and that was kind of funny. But
under the hood.
Yeah, they showed off the Wii Remote Nunchuck control scheme, which they have like a regular. They're going to use the classic controller. They're going to use the Wii Remote. That will all control exactly how you would remember it from NBA Jam. But the Wii Remote Nunchuck version, basically, you know, analog stick, you move around, the turbo button is Z, A is pass, and the way you shoot is kind of like how they do it in Wii Sports Resort, is where you kind of like pull up on the Wii Remote and then fling down when you're at like the top of the arc. And also, if you hold B, you can kind of use that as a trigger, like to do a slam dunk if you're nearby, and it's all contextual. But it worked really well, and it's got a nice feel to it doing that flick up, even though it doesn't use Wii Motion Plus or anything. But yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's NBA Jam. I can't wait to hear more about that. I was really very, very impressed by it, and it's coming out this fall, and I'll probably have a preview, a really good preview, because I got to talk to the creative director for a while. So that should be up, hopefully, before this episode even goes up, because I'll probably be writing that tomorrow. And the other game that I saw was EA Sports Active 2.0, which I don't really have that much to say, but that it's going to be bigger. It's 2.0. Like, it's going to be bigger and better. There's going to be, like, 70 different games instead of, like, the 20 that were there. I didn't get to play it at all, but it was kind of funny because last year I went to the same EA event, and there was this very enthusiastic guy showing off Grand Slam Tennis for Wii, which, you know, it was a lot of fun. Like, I played a game with them. It was really cool. And then this year it's the same guy in, like, a fucking jumpsuit showing off EA Sports Active 2.0. Once again, like, totally over-enthusiastic. Like, when I, like, walked up to the area where it was, like, he's putting on the fucking sensors for the game and, like, gearing up. Like, he put on a fucking headband, and he's jumping around and, like, answering. Like there was, like, some guy from, like, the New York Daily News that was also there and was talking to him. And, like, he's, like, doing all the exercises, answering questions. I was like, this is amazing. Like, I'm so impressed.
Yeah,
right now.
Those are my favorite PR stooges. People who are just like so.
No, this is this is a producer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's exciting.
Yeah. but I think he was also the guy, Zach. I don't know if you remember from the very boring E3 EA press conference. He was the guy who was showing off Grand Slam Tennis there too, and he was also over enthusiastic and joking around with Peter Moore and stuff there too, but.
I just remember the overly enthusiastic DDR dude.
I did not see that at the Konami booth there. I heard about that.
That's right. I wonder if this guy you're talking about compares well to him.
I think he does. But going off on Active 2.0, like they have this. I don't know if any of you guys heard about how they have like the wireless sensors. Like you put one on like your left arm, like around like the bicep, or I think like at the bend of the elbow, and that'll also read your heart rate too. And then you put one on your leg, kind of like where the nunchuck, like, leg band would go. And this game, you don't use the nunchuck at all, and basically that takes the place of the nunchuck, and it works a lot better because you don't have to deal with a wire there. This game looks like they're taking the EA Sports Active Concept, which was probably one of the best fitness simulators on the system, at least as far as what I've experienced, and they're just making it even better, which is pretty damn cool. And I think that's also another fall release, so it's a ways off.
My biggest problem with the first one, I played it for a little bit, and my biggest problem was that it just seemed like it was not very accurate. Like I would do a crunch or something, and it just wouldn't register.
You could very easily game that game. It's like, you know, doing jump rope thing in that. Like I started the blog series and then got taken over by school and could not finish the blog series of doing the 6-week challenge. But like the jump rope thing, like you could get to a point where you would just have to, you could just, you know, shake the remote or something. Like there was no way to actually like test if your body was moving. Like there was so many ways you could just game that. And I feel like how they're adding these sensors, it's gonna fix that a little bit.
That's awesome. Very good.
Yeah, I mean it's bigger and better. It's 2.0. And as far as games that I've actually been playing, you know, recreationally, I got Crackdown for I had some GameStop credits, so I got it for $1.50 when all was said and done.
That is a sweet deal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. Like I might pull the old GameStop 7 days and return it because I've played a crap ton of it, but I'm pretty much done. At least as far as I'll probably play it. It's a really, really cool game, though. And basically, you're just wandering around, killing gang members and collecting orbs. Like, it's a very basic concept, but it's just a lot of fun.
The thing is, though, the missions are almost secondary to the orbs.
Yeah, the orbs I played Spider-Man Web of Shadows, which I remember that was another one I previewed that, too. And they were telling me, the orbs are like Crackdown. And I was like, I haven't played Crackdown, but this is really addictive. And when I got game and reviewed it, what I ended up doing is I just went around looking for the little spider orbs that would upgrade me slowly over time. And I totally get that when I'm playing this. Because I'll just see an orb off in the distance and be like, I can get that.
Oh, too, totally. It's all about being able to jump over a building. I think once you get to that point, you're like, all right, I've beaten the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point that I'm at. That's why, I got it literally a week ago tomorrow, so I will probably bring it back to GameStop and get and return it and, you know, have my store credit back. But it's a really cool game, but I actually have kind of an amusing story with that as far as, I guess crappy installs is that I turned on my 360 and connected online and put on Crackdown, but I had to get the system update for the new, how you can use, flash drives now. And I was waiting that instead 15 minutes. So I turned on my PS3 and played about 15 minutes of Quest for Booty while I was waiting for this. And I just I turned on my PS3 and I was like, am I really going to do this? Yeah, I'll do it. So as I'm killing the environment by having 4 video game systems on at once. But it was totally worth it.
I don't worry too much about it.
just a word to the wise, don't ever play Crackdown with Jonathan Metz.
Wise.
He will screw you over constantly.
I remember, I think Lindemann complained about that at some point.
Yeah. Basically, Johnny will just throw cars at you the entire time.
He's just a griefer. I have a friend like that who, whenever I play a game with him, will do really well cooperatively, and then he'll just, shoot me in the head. I'll be like, what the fuck, man?
Well, dude, remember, when we were at PAX and you guys were playing the Alvin and the Chipmunks game, or not
Yeah,
Alvin
he kept, yeah, or the Chip, the Chip and Dale.
Yeah, yeah.
And he kept throwing shit at you.
All he was doing was throwing you around.
Well, I kind of got
Johnny,
my revenge, because when we played...
a dick as a gamer? Is that what I'm
When
hearing?
We played New Super Mario Bros. Wii, I was that asshole who was throwing people off, so I guess I got a little bit of revenge. And part of that, because I was like, that motherfucker could throw me off in Chip and Dale. Like, I'm going to get him back. But, yeah. Crackdown, a real cool game. I'm a lot more excited for Crackdown 2. I played that demo at PAX East, and it's definitely on my radar now after playing Crackdown 1.
Crackdown was a lot of fun. I'm definitely interested in playing the new one.
Yeah. And my last game is a Nintendo game. It's Monster Hunter Tri, which came out yesterday. And I put about 3 hours into it last night, and it's really freaking good. Like, I hated the demo. The demo completely turned me off the game, but then I was like, I'll get it anyway. Which is actually Capcom sent me a copy, so that's why I was like, I'll get it anyway.
No.
Well, I have to play this. I might as well.
But I started it, and I realized what I hated about the demo is that the demo just focused on the action part and threw you into it without any kind of explanation. And as I'm going into this game, like, first off, it looks beautiful. Like, I now get, like, the demo didn't really look that good, but opening this up, like, there's this gorgeous, like, cutscene that kind of, like, shows you, like, the area where you play. And it just, it looks really, really good. It's really, it's easily some of the best graphics on Wii. And you start off in this town as, like, this rookie monster hunter who's coming to this town that's having all these problems. And then it slowly takes you into the game. And basically in the 2 to 3 hours that I played last night, I went through the tutorial part of it, because now I'm getting all these different guild quests that I can go through. And, I mean, it's still, I think it's going to be a little while before I'm slaying big monsters. But at the same time, if I went up against a big monster right now, I would get my ass handed to me. So right now I'm kind of, like, collecting shit and, you know, getting better weapons and armor. Basically, I'm playing an MMO. Like, it's an MMO, but there's a single-player aspect. I haven't taken it online yet. But it's the MMO that I would play, because it's not exclusively multiplayer.
Right. It's sort of like Diablo, I guess, in that way.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think Diablo's a pretty good comparison.
Yeah, that's what I thought it would be. I called up Playtrade. They told me they were getting it yesterday, and they did. Just not the bundle.
Okay, you're holding out for the CC Pro. You should, dude. The CC Pro is incredible. Like, I love that thing so much. I technically imported it, because at some convention I was at, they had, like, a Japanese import of a CC Pro for $30, and I was like, well, this is totally worth it. And it was, and now I have two.
Sweet.
Well, maybe I'll get the game with credit and just buy the Pro on its own.
Yeah, be good.
I don't know. I'm cheap, so I might just.
But it's a really really sweet game. If what I described sounds at all appealing, then you should definitely check it out.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess at this point we should probably let people know that this isn't actually Radio Free Nintendo. it's the good old newscast. And seeing as how we have we pulled the curtain back, you know, you're seeing the wizard, as it were. I might as well hand it off to. The actual host of the newscast. Andy, why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Thank you, Carl. Yeah, we thought we would, since RFN has taken a bit of a hiatus this week, we figured we would step in and pretend we were RFN for a week. And Carl was free enough to help us out.
Yeah, although I'm not really indicative of RFN anymore.
It's been, like, what, like 2 years plus since you hosted?
I left the site.
God,
like,
that's
two
amazing.
And a half, I left the site about 2.5 years ago, so.
That's,
although, I guess, you know, now I'm back on. Although, I guess I can say it now. Yeah, I'm back on the website. I mean, I've put up a couple of things so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, at the end of the show, I might pimp a couple of things, but I'll leave that for later.
Yeah, we always have a good pimping at times.
Oh, yeah.
We are pimpers.
Well, anyway, I will, I'll go ahead and give the show a proper intro. Welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 16 for April 21st, 2010. As Carl said, I am your host, Andy Gergen. But I am going to hand it off to Neil.
I was waiting for this. I was like, yeah. Carl, just pass it off to Andy. It's going back to me because we're going to go over the news.
Yeah.
And there we are.
I'm going to go ahead and let Neil run down the news story.
All right. I'm going to let Zach take this one.
Oh, and all right, back to me.
All right, well, let's start with something that kind of just popped up as we were getting ready for the show. Metroid Other M is potentially getting delayed until August at the earliest, and Sin and Punishment 2 is possibly getting delayed from its early June release to the June 27th slot that Metroid Other M was occupying.
Sin and Punishment.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, you're definitely right in that this isn't really that surprising. Because what we all expected was Metroid Other M to come out in August. But I'm just pissed off because I was expecting it at the end of June, and I was really excited for that. Mm-hmm. And now it's back to where I originally expected it. But I already had this preconceived expectation of having it at the end of June.
No, I've been waiting for that other shoe to drop. I mean, I think even if you listen to the PAX podcast, I think Johnny mentioned that if any game in that trio of awesome that is Super Mario Galaxy 2, Sin and Punishment, and Metroid, it was probably going to be Metroid that slipped.
Well, yeah, that's because Mario Galaxy 2 has been done for a while, and Sin and Punishment 2 already came out in Japan.
Exactly, yeah. So, right. I mean, Metroid was always the kind of one that was up in the air, and I knew the Nintendo that I know is not a Nintendo that puts out three awesome games within 30 days of each other. I knew something had to fuck up, and sure enough, Nintendo never disappoints. Never disappoints.
I mean, I hope that they use the extra time, you know, to polish the game off, yada, yada, yada. And also, look, I don't know, present it in a better light, because it seems like there's still a kind of, at least amongst, like a lot of fans, it's like there's that kind of ambivalence towards it where some people are just kind of like they have faith and they're excited, and other people are like, it's stupid. It's going to be totally lame. It only uses the Wii Remote, blah, blah, blah.
I think the game's going to be great. I mean, yeah. You know, everything I've seen so far has looked really, really good. I mean, and also ultimately at this news of delay, I mean, I kind of have to just shrug it off because I'm going to be way busy with so many other games at that point that I don't mind waiting a little while. Like, I got Prince of Persia coming out, Super Mario Galaxy 2, Sin and Punishment,
Red Dead Redemption, 3D Dot Game Heroes looks really cool, Picross 3D.
Exactly. I'll figure out a way to survive without, you know, Metroid.
NCAA 11.
Well, maybe
that's just me.
Maybe that's for just you. Me.
Maybe they'll add nunchuck support to Metroid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, well, obviously, probably even here by the time this goes up, what the reason for the delay is, or at least if it's official or not, but I don't know if it's part of maybe they're just moving their schedule around and spreading things out, or maybe there's a reason
that's
that
very likely.
Metroid is getting delayed.
Oh, no.
I think they might be moving it up because something that they had later on in the year maybe
Zelda.
Might be slipping a little. Cough, cough, Zelda, cough, cough.
Yeah. I think this does, nice. That does lend credence to it, or it could be an unannounced game that they were planning to, you know, announce at E3 and have fill that void at the end of 2010. And maybe that's got delayed. I mean, we'll find out at E3. That's pretty much what Nintendo's words are right now. We're like, oh, you'll find out then. Like, we already have you already have the pathway to E3 laid out for you, where you have,
It'll be Zelda and 3DS.
Oh my god, that would be a hell of a year.
Do you think that the DS, the 3DS, is that going to be its final name, or are they going to call it something else?
I think it'll be the final name.
Yeah, I think so too.
I wouldn't be surprised if it changed. I mean, you know, historically, they haven't announced the names of their consoles until they actually show it off. Not in the case of the case with the Wii? It wasn't actually.
It was the Revolution, and then the Wii.
It was the Revolution, and then it became the Wii later. But I mean, with the DS, I mean, we had heard dual screen, you know, shoved around here and there, but it wasn't the DS, quote unquote, until they actually showed off the console.
Yeah.
You know, 3DS, I mean, it's likely. I wouldn't be surprised if that became its actual name. You know, they want to definitely keep that DS mindshare. But 3DS is, I mean, it's a little on the nose, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they might want to go with something else. I don't know. We'll see.
It also sounds an awful lot like iPhone 3GS.
It does.
That's the point, Andy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's one reason with why they may keep it. And
but, Andy, they're not threatened by the iPhone.
Yeah.
I think you're wrong, Zach. I read that new story on NWR as well.
Reggie's never wrong.
Didn't they say the DS wasn't the actual name for the DS for a little while?
Yeah, they did.
They did, and, you know, look, they also said it was their third pillar and that it was, like, an
Nintendo says device. A lot of things. They also said Other M was coming out on June 27th. They also said that ExciteBots was going to get some sort of support.
Yeah, Nintendo says a lot of things.
Yes. But we love them anyway. Let's move on to another Japanese company. Capcom had Captivate 2010 last week in sunny Hawaii.
I love Capcom.
In sunny Hawaii. Yeah. Daniel Bloodworth,
bastards.
You son of a bitch.
Update that forum thread. What's Bloodworth up to? He's in fucking Hawaii.
Exactly.
But, so Capcom there, they showed off a couple games, games that we don't need to talk about, like Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Bionic Commando Rearmed 2,
which looked awesome.
But they confirmed that Okamiden and Ghost Trick, Phantom Detective, its new subtitle, are both coming to North America. And so is Sengoku Basara Samurai Heroes, which I think was already confirmed to come to North America. But now we have more of a release date on that. Samurai Heroes is coming out in the fall. Ghost Trick is coming out this winter, and Okamiden is coming out in 2011. That's the sequel to Okami.
But is it going to be the same kind of game?
It's basically you're like a little sun god, and you get plopped down on Earth to like defend the people, quote unquote. But yeah, you get like the magical paintbrush and shit, and it's pretty much similar.
I think it's the same game with the caveat that it's not Clover Studio / Platinum Games making it. So it still looks really good, but there is that worry there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Huh.
But Ghost Trick looks really awesome.
Still, the magic paintbrush will work really well with the DS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could end up being a better Zelda game on DS than the Zelda games on DS.
Whatever happened? Do you guys remember?
Just throwing that out there.
EA announced some game. They had like a, I think it was at TGS, they announced some like DS game that was basically Zelda. Does anyone remember that? I don't know. I haven't heard anything about, on a long. I forget the name
it was,
of it.
It was on DS, you said?
They announced it at TGS last year. They had a press conference in Japan, and I guess it was kind of like their way to like go towards the Japanese market on DS. Is it was a game that was like Zelda for DS that was like kind of like an old school themed Zelda as opposed to Phantom Hourglass's stylus controlled goodness.
Dead Space Phantom Marker.
Yeah.
There we go. But okay, that's neither here nor there. Let's move on to the next news story, which are the MPDs. And yes. Nintendo is kicking ass again.
Numbers.
I mean, do we even have to comment on it at this point? Like, yeah, Wii's and DS's are selling still.
Nintendo wins.
You know, I think the real story here is this Red Steel thing.
Yeah, Red Steel sold 50,000 copies, according to the MPD. But, I mean, you have to keep in mind that it only was out for basically 2 weeks. It came out on March 23rd, and I think the reporting period for MPD ended on April 3rd.
Look, you can spin this any way you want. That's a poor launch. Like,
yeah.
That's bad. I don't think any of us can shape it in any other way. Yeah, only 2 weeks. Yeah, that's only half the month.
Yeah.
It's not Spyborgs.
Something niche game.
Yeah, right. I mean, look, at what point do you just shrug and say, look, third-party games don't really sell on Wii?
Yeah. Well, at least third-party games like this don't sell on Wii. And like I love Red Steel too. It's a fantastic game, but really, what market are they going for? I guess they were going for the people that bought Red Steel, but the Wii market's completely different.
I think the market they're going for is the Xbox 360 PS3 market. Quote unquote, no, it is though. I mean, they're going for
I agree with you.
Well, you also have to keep in mind, Carl, that Red Steel sold to 1 million people when it came out.
Yeah,
but it
also
came out at launch
game, and it was a launch game, and they all sell well at launch. Like, you know, people are hungry for something to play. They'll buy pretty much anything.
Twilight Princess sold well on launch.
Didn't Blue Stinger sell well for the Dreamcast? I mean, there's your proof right there. So, I mean, look, I think with Red Steel 2, it seems like a good game, which seems like kind of ironic that the good game in the series doesn't sell well. But, you know, I think ultimately they geared it towards the you know, the Xbox 360 PS3 type of gamer, and that gamer does not buy many games on the Wii.
I wonder if the Red Steel 2 is going to experience a similar brick adjustment that Academy of Heroes did, or Champions, or whatever that game Neil hated. Because if it is $20 at some point in the near future, I'll definitely buy it because I really want to buy Red Steel 2.
It's a really cool game. I highly recommend it.
I mean, look. You can't say that they sent it out there to die. Red Steel 2 has had a lot of advertisement.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've seen a lot of money pushing this game. Oh, too, totally. There have been commercials all over the place, ads on pretty much every website that I go to. So they've definitely gotten the name out there. People just aren't buying it. I mean, at what point do you, like I said, at what point do you just shrug and say, all right, well, you know, the Wii just doesn't really do much for third parties. Oh, well.
Right.
I thought that a long time ago, but I don't think anything will convince some people.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Look, you can make up any old excuse that you want, saying, oh, well, you know, Ubisoft didn't market it the right way, or they're not looking at it the right way, or blah, 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 you know, you're wrong.
Westerns, that's a niche genre.
Yeah, Western, yeah, exactly. Right. So, like, look, those people
you
are
can spin this however you want it. It's still, like you said, Carl, it's not a strong launch, but...
It's the opposite of a strong launch.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame because it is a well produced, interesting game,
really,
and it just is on the wrong system, maybe.
Yeah. There's some sort of rumor that maybe Ubisoft will bring this to the Move because apparently it would work.
Yeah, I immediately thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I would be surprised.
We've been talking about that with Dead or Alive or Dead Space Extraction too.
Yeah. Mop it up said something in the forums about this, and she said, I'm fine with these numbers. I actually expected it to be a bit lower, and I think over time it might reach that second projection of 500,000 at some point.
Won't.
It seems like the type of game that could catch sales through word of mouth and such if it is as good as reviews say.
Yeah, maybe $500,000 if at some point means the end of time, but
Depends if it ends up at Newegg for $12, like Conduit and House of the Dead Overkill and Mad World. Like, all those games have hit rock bottom prices in Newegg less than a year after launch.
I mean, I think the telling thing will be what happens after April.
Yeah,
that's definitely true.
I don't think anything will be different, but that will be the confirmation of, is Red Steel 2 dead in the water?
I think we can already probably say that it is.
I think this is the highest it's going to be, and then it's just going to be a quick taper from here.
Yeah, no, I don't think we're going to see it on the top 10 next month. I don't think there's any chance of that.
Well, the top 10 is too crowded with New Super Mario Bros. Wii, Wii Fit Plus, Pokemon Heart Gold, Soul Silver, etc.
It seems the way, you know, what was it, the original No More Heroes, where I was actually surprised by the sales.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the last third-party game that I was actually surprised by the sales for Wii, you know?
Yeah.
Do we know how Silent Hill did?
I don't think it did very well, actually.
I think it did better than this,
though. That's another game I want to get.
I think it did better than this, though. And by the way, I'm getting that next on Gamefly. It should probably come in tomorrow. I'm really excited.
Oh, awesome.
Nice.
But I'm pretty sure Silent Hill Shattered Memories did a lot better than Red Steel 2. I think that's probably because it's a known commodity at Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, that's another game I want to get.
Yeah, going down the news train, we also have the Okami creator, Hideki Kamiya, who also he made Bayonetta and is part of Platinum Games and formerly of Clover. He asks Nintendo on Twitter to force Platinum Games to make a Star Fox game at gunpoint. I think that
because
would be pretty freaking cool.
If there's any avenue to ask Nintendo for something, it's Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where the money is, but...
I started following his Twitter, and albeit I'm looking through it through Google Translator, like, he says some ridiculous shit.
He's got a big fucking mouth. He likes to write checks that his ass can't catch. Okay, like, he's a big fan of that kind of shit. Like, he talks... He and Itagaki had, like, a screaming match a couple years ago. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
Oh, wow.
I remember
that. Oh, yeah, totally. Those guys hate each other, because, you know, Kamiya was the original director for Devil May Cry, and obviously Itagaki's, you know, Ninja Gaiden. And, they hate each other's games with a passion. It's hysterical. As for Platinum making a Star Fox game... I mean, no one else seems to want to do it, so why not?
Yeah.
Remind me what Platinum does.
Mad World,
right?
Mad World.
I don't know when they're going to do my goddamn Beautiful Joe game, though.
I'm with you, Carl. I just left it hanging at the end of the second game.
Well, I know. Seriously. I think we talked about this a while ago, where he talked about how, I'd love to go back to Beautiful Joe. I'm just like, why don't you, son of a bitch?
Capcom owns the license, so they'd have to work with them.
Yeah.
And it's you're kind of.
I think Platinum Games was formed deliberately to not work with Capcom.
Yeah, I mean, they're all people who left Capcom, so I don't know if they're really lining up to go work with them again. Which is a shame, because Beautiful Joe 2, like Zach just said, like, it ends on this ridiculous cliffhanger of, like, Shenmue 2 proportions, and you're just sort of...
Did it get continued in the anime?
I love how that game
spawned an anime, just period.
I think the anime is just a whole separate thing.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's just weird to think of that an anime was spawned out of Beautiful Joe, which is one of my favorite GameCube games.
Oh, just totally.
My game of the decade submission was Beautiful Joe.
That's right.
Oh, dude. I mean, you don't have to tell me that Beautiful Joe is a good game. I've evangelized it my fair share. But, it's a shame that it ended like it did, and that it also kind of had two not-so-good games. Yeah. Obviously, what was it? Double Trouble and...
Double Trouble kind of sucked. And then that fighting game. That fighting
Red Hot Rumble.
I reviewed Red Hot Rumble, and Red Hot Rumble sucked.
That fight...
It sucked so bad.
Fucking blue. Like, I was just like, it made me so upset, because, like, I loved the first one, like, to death.
Yeah.
And then I loved the second one, and then, like, I was like, what's this fighting? What the fuck? I think I read your review and was like, it can't be that bad.
It was that bad.
You know, it's like kind of a can't-miss game, too, because you have all those very Smash Bros-y characters.
Well, yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but, you know, it does kind of copy Smash Bros., but then it adds too much randomness, and it just becomes a mess.
Yep.
Right, yeah, I remember reading that in your review.
Yeah.
All right, well...
Missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Sane in the forums has kind of a drastic, a differing viewpoint from what we say about Platinum Games doing Star Fox. If they bring it back, I really only trust Nintendo. If they pass it off to someone else, that's what caused the problem in the first place.
No, the problem in the first place was that they gave it to Rare and Namco.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, I didn't... Like, Assault was not terrible, it just wasn't that good.
Everything that was on the ground was terrible, and yes. There's a lot of stuff on the ground. Yeah. So, yeah.
Double and no tomatoes. The planet hates tomatoes.
Exactly. No, I mean, look, if you axe the Bathmadads and you axe the ground missions, and you just get rid of all the crap that the series has accumulated over the last, you know, 10 well, years, basically.
And Animal Friends.
Give it to Q Games. Yeah. Just give it to Q Games. Give Dylan Cuthbert the fucking keys to the Star Fox Porsche and just be like, just take it around the block for like 3 years. And you will get a fantastic game.
It can't be any worse than the most recent games.
Well, I mean...
Well, Command was actually pretty good.
Yeah, and that was Q Games.
Oh, okay.
Exactly, so there you go. I mean, yeah, I think a Wii version of Star Fox has tons of potential, and I think it'd be really great for Platinum to give it a shot. I have no problem with it. I mean, yeah, but I mean, definitely. Either Platinum or Q Games, or hell, you know, in my own, you know, crazy dreams, together... You know, both of them working on it. But,
and then Suda
you know,
51 shows up, too.
And then Suda 51 shows up, and she just gets crazy.
Then you get the camera out.
And then you get the camera, and the music starts. And, no. It's like I said before, no one else seems to be working on it, so why not Platinum?
Suda 51, what are you doing here? I'm here to clean your pipes.
All right, next story.
Oh, and make Star Fox.
It's like you're robbing my subconscious.
Pokemon anyway, Black and White were announced in the interim since the last episode. What do you guys have to say
Pokemon
about that?
Games.
I think that it's. I think they made note that they're trying to actually upgrade the visual style, which has been sorely needed for I don't know about 10 years.
I think it looks surprisingly similar, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, how different can it really be? You know.
I'd really love to see them go somewhere like bold and daring with the series, but let's get real here. I don't really give a shit. I fucking love these games. I don't really want them to change secretly. Like, they're fine the way they are, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that Diamond and Pearl changed the formula enough for me to really like it. I mean, I reviewed Emerald, and I really didn't care for Emerald too much because it was the same game I'd played in, you know, Red and Blue, and then again in Gold and Silver, and again in Ruby and Sapphire, so... I was really, really tired of it at that point. But Diamond, I mean, I played the shit out of Diamond. I really, really liked that game
too.
A lot. So, you know, I think with this one, you know, improve the online play, you know, improve the trading system. Maybe, you know, tweak the battle system enough, add a couple new twists to it to make it a little more interesting. But they're not going to reinvent the wheel here. Why would they? The series still makes so much money.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I wish they'd make the Pokemon actually fight.
Oh, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Although they are adding more animations, I think, like as far as the battle.
Well, yeah.
What we've seen in the battle scene is that you see more of the Pokemon.
Well, I think what you're going to see is that they're going to be in full 3D. That's my guess.
No, we've seen a battle screen, and it's sprites.
Oh, is it sprites again? Well, that's
stupid. Yeah, it is.
They should be 3D.
They should be sprites that animates a little bit.
I'm almost like, I'm not a Pokemon fan. I've never really played any of these games, so my opinion counts for, grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But I really would very much like to see a Pokemon series, a duo, I guess you'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see one fail badly at the market.
You should take a look at any of the console games.
Yeah.
Well, I want to see them feel the need to renovate it. If they change the formula, I'd probably just pick it up out of sheer curiosity.
Sure.
But at this point, it's clear to me that this is a game made in 1998 that's been more or less polished a little bit every time it's been re-released.
Oh, totally.
Every three years.
It's like
Matt. And I don't want to play that game. Like, I have no interest in that game. I would like them to feel the need to change it up, but that won't happen anytime soon.
Yeah.
So.
It's totally
the MPD is tell the tale.
Checkbox game.
The MPDs tell the tale that Heart Gold and Soul Silver in half a month sold almost 2 million.
I mean, what other game just gets basically polished and released this often? I mean, I understand that's what sequelizing kind of is. And
yeah.
that's a pretty fair statement, actually.
EA
it's just a Nintendo sports game.
Maybe,
oh, totally.
Maybe, maybe GTA, I guess? I don't know.
Mario Kart never really changes.
Yeah,
well,
but that's few and far between, and they do add things.
Yeah,
but Pokemon's an RPG. I mean, does the story change from game to game?
Kind of.
No,
there's always a Team Rocket. There's always a team something.
I, See, we're all complaining about this, but I'm still playing Soul Silver. I love that
shit.
I'm
still playing Hard Gold. I was playing that at lunch today. Yeah.
No,
what
I mean
is fantastic.
You're not all bitching. To be clear, I'm bitching.
Yeah.
I'm bitching too. I think the series is in dire need of some major changes.
I just don't give a crap. I love this game. If it changes, I might not like it.
What I try to do is I only try to play the major releases. I don't play the Soul Silver and Heart Gold or the Emeralds or whatever. I mean, I played Emerald because I had to, but I try to just stay away from those.
Yeah, I mean,
I
take my time with it. Like, in all honesty, I actually went from Red and Blue to Pearl. I played a little bit of a friend's copy of Ruby, and that was about it. In between, like, I would just replay Red and, or I had Blue. I would just replay Blue periodically, and then I was like, oh, I'll get Pearl, and then I got really into Pearl, and like a year later, I ended up getting Leaf Green. And then
so
I reviewed Pokemon Mystery.
So Neil was introduced to Dark types, Steel types, and Double battles.
Yes, all at once.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, all of this really doesn't matter anyway because the secret best Pokemon game of all time is still Pokemon Pinball.
Hell yeah!
Oh yeah!
Hell yeah! That is a fantastic game.
Exactly. So that's what they need to be working on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pokemon Pinball DS.
Platinum.
I really don't know why that hasn't come out. Like.
Yeah.
Do it for Diamond and Pearl.
I don't know
what to
tell
you. It would work
perfectly.
Give
it to Fuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
All right, moving down the list, Monster Hunter Tri, which I talked about a little bit earlier, is going to have downloadable content. I assume it will kind of follow the same structure as the PSP game, Monster Hunter Freedom Unite, and that had support for 10 months after its release. So we'll see how long this goes. There will be a new quest posted on the first Friday of every month. So. Yeah, that should be pretty cool. Gives you more of a chance to collect rare items,
and
upgrade
it's free,
your armor.
Right?
Yes. All this online stuff is free for this game. It was one of the questions that, John Lindemann, I guess Monster Hunter Evangelist, when I had an interview at the launch event at Nintendo World Store, he gave me a laundry list of like 20 questions. He was only able to ask 5, but one of them was going to be how big are the quests and how will they fit, and I don't think that's really known yet. I think I don't know if the first DLC is coming out this Friday or if it's not coming out because it's the first Friday of every month. It might not be out until, I guess, 3 Fridays from now or something like that, but I guess we'll find out whenever the first downloadable quest comes out. It could also just be, because you have to be online to do it, so it could just be you get it online. Or maybe there's, because I think you can only have one quest at a time, so maybe there's a spot to download one. It is hella cool, and I mean it's good to see that companies are actually using the Wii's online capabilities.
I still want that game.
I still see someone using it.
I wanna finish this damn newscast so I can go and play more of it before I go to bed. We got Flip's Twisted World, which is a 3D platformer that was shown off last year at E3 and then kind of went dark and was supposed to have a June release date, and it got delayed until September mysteriously, and we found out through a Majesco representative that it was delayed to September from June because of a competing product, which, for all you keeping score at home, Super Mario Galaxy 2 is coming out on May 23rd, right before June. So Flip's Twisted World was moved out of that June spot because of Super Mario Galaxy 2, so... Foo on that.
What, a first-party game's going to eat up the sales?
Yeah. Well, it's coming out in the fall, so it'll probably get lost in the shuffle and sell terribly.
Oh, jeez.
DSi XL sold a crap ton in 1 week. It sold 141,000 units in a week. So
this
I can't
is
wait
in
to
America?
See. Yes. That's just...
Wow.
Well, I can't wait to see what's going to happen with that system with the April sales. Like, that's absurd. Yeah, I guess probably half of that are people that are actually interested in the system, and I'll get this DS now. Or there's half people that got it and having a DSi and are like, how come I can't transfer my games?
Yeah.
And there's also going to be a DSi bundle for the old school DSi with Mario & Luigi 3. So I guess
awesome
they're still
right
trying
there.
To sell that, and that's a pretty solid deal. I think it's the regular price of the system, so you get a fantastic game for free. So that is
it's a white DSi.
Awesome.
It's a white DSi.
Yes. And closing off this quick hit, this might turn out to be a longer one, like half of the other quick hits. Super Mario Galaxy 2, there's been more information on that, including a trailer that was posted pretty much right before the show. First off, Cloud Mario is a thing. There's apparently a cloud mushroom that you can get, and I guess you jump into the air and you spin, and then a cloud will come out and appear and become a platform. And I think the way it works is that for each cloud mushroom that you get, you have like three clouds that you can make. So you can go there, and then I guess maybe the way it'll work is that then you have to get another mushroom to get three more or something along those lines.
And they showed a side-scrolling level using the cloud suit. That was cool.
And there's also this isn't confirmed, but the co-op is looking like it's going to be pretty similar to the last one, except for the second player will have an avatar on screen. It'll be one of the little Luma characters. I think he has a name.
Well, and it looks like they can hold things like coins until you need them, and then give them to you.
Oh, that sounds pretty awesome. I mean, I don't think it's not going to be, you know, playing as Luigi, but you're doing something new, and that's pretty cool right there.
Yeah.
And the last thing, which came out of this trailer and is hot off the presses, is apparently Rosalina will be back, but as a cosmic guide, which I guess is the super guide version in Super Mario Galaxy 2. In the trailer, they basically showed off, it's kind of like this Rosalina character, but she's kind of like black and see-through. I can't really explain. Like, it's almost like she looks like a black hole, or at least the conception of a black hole, the artistic rendering of a black hole. But she's Rosalina.
Space
I don't
ghost.
Know. Just go see the damn trailer. Like, stop listening to us. Turn this all off. Go watch the trailer. Come back.
It's not really clear how the super guide actually works, though.
Yeah, it's basically like, then there will be like this ball that you can follow, but not really sure what it does. And I think the one thing that I did read out of this is that if you beat a level with the super guide, then like you'll get a bronze star instead of a real star, which I guess is a good way of separating. And I think you can still complete the game in that manner, but you'll have that little like, oh, you got a bronze star, ass.
But because there are no trophies or achievements, it won't matter.
Yes. But I mean, I have a pride issue when it comes to Mario games.
So. Yeah, me too.
This is true.
All right, and that's all we got for news. After the short break, we will come back with the new releases and the downloads and all that jazz.
And welcome back to NWR Newscast. Let's go ahead and kick off the rest of the show. Let's start with the downloads for the past couple of weeks. Unfortunately, Zach had to step out. He won't be joining us for this second half of the show, but that's all right. We'll go ahead and move on without him. We'll kick it off with WiiWare. The first game up is Military Madness Nectaris, Hudson game for 1,000 points. This is sort of a WiiWare remake of a classic TurboGrafx game that's, I guess, been around for quite some time. I looked at it on YouTube for a little bit, and it kind of just seems like a hex-based Advance Wars. I don't know, it doesn't look super interesting, but if turn-based strategy is your thing, then you might enjoy this. Bang Attack from Engine Software for 500 points. Either of you guys know anything about this game?
Not really. I'm looking at the press release for it. It's a fun, colorful puzzle game for players young and old. You don't have to learn how to play Bang Attack. Just pick it up as you go along. The objective is to find identical objects and smash them with your little hammer. Once you have enough points, you can use the Wii Remote Controller to swing with the big hammer. There's a banana in the way. Simply whack it off the screen. If you have two Wii Remote Controllers, you can challenge another player and find out who's the real champ. It's not easy, though. You'll have to deploy tactics and speed at precisely the right moment. You'll also need to use special bonus objects to hinder your opponent in order to win. It features over 40 levels and 4 crazy worlds.
Oh, okay. Sounds interesting, I guess. So that's all we got for WiiWare this week. For DSiWare, we have a whole bunch of games. It seems like DSiWare has gotten a real glut of software over the past couple
of months.
It's
just a bunch of fucking Game & Watch games. Like, let's get real here.
It just seems like for the last 4 months or so, it's like one or two WiiWare games, one or two
definitely slowed down.
Five virtual console games. Or, I'm sorry, five DSiWare games. So it's been kind of a riches on the DSiWare lately. First up, we got Gangstar 2, Kings of LA from Gameloft for 500 points. This looks to me like sort of a, almost like a sprite-based, maybe, top-down GTA-style game.
Yeah, I mean, there was already a Gangstar game on DSiWare, relatively sure. It's Gameloft's take on GTA.
That's whenever I see Gameloft, I kind of just assume it's an iPhone port.
I'm pretty sure this is. I think they do a ton of iPhone games. They're not really bad. Like none of the Gameloft games are. Well, not all. Some of them are completely awful. But it's more of like they're just like broad ripoffs of
popular series.
Like exactly. You have, like I'm trying to think what else they have. They have like I think they have like an RPG-ish game. They have a platformer game that came out a while ago.
Sure. Alpha Bounce from Mad
Alpha Bounce
Studios
is
for 500 points.
Awesome.
This is a brick breaker RPG, and you've played this, haven't you, Neil?
Yes, I downloaded it actually at the behest of KDR on the site. He submitted it for the write-in part of the DSiWare feature, and it kind of sold me on it. It's basically Arkanoid the RPG, and you go through different levels, and you know, you play Arkanoid, you get power-ups, and some of the power-ups make shit ridiculously crazy. Like, there's a lot of different power-ups, and they're marked by a letter, and sometimes the letters will do different things. Like, there's one that will either, like, it's a Z, and I think it's, like, Zenith or Zealot, and one of them will make the balls travel really slow, or make the balls go really fast, but it's kind of a risk-reward thing in that you could get it, and it could slow everything down, or it could speed it up, and there's power-ups that, like, a black hole will occur on the top part of the screen. It uses the two screens, and all of the blocks that you're going after are generally on the top screen, and you're on the bottom.
Was there a storyline, or?
I guess. Like, there's some, it's space. You're finding shit. I think, like, you're looking for Earth. Maybe it's Battlestar Galactica.
You're kidnapped, and then you're trying to make it back to Earth. I remember this now from the press
release. Yeah, something like that.
Sounds fascinating. That's kind of cool, though. I like the idea of taking like classic game mechanics and mapping them on top of
I mean, the only crappy thing about the game is that there's some janky presentation. Like, there's a lot of load times that make it really slow. Okay. And, like, there's just a lot of weird presentation things about it. It's rough around the edges, but the gameplay is really fun. There's so much to do.
A DSiWare game with load times seems like a really poor programming mistake. Anyway, moving on, we've got
a
seven...
DS game with load times is a really poor programming mistake.
Well, yeah,
this is also true.
A DSiWare game is that exact same statement, but like an eighth of the like size. So
it is literally playing off of the memory. Like everything should be loaded already.
Well, and it's a smaller game. I mean, they have to be downloadable. Fairly small. I mean,
although to be fair, this is a really big DSiWare game. Like, I think they boast something like, "Oh, there's millions of levels," which, from playing the game, I don't think it's really that far off. Like, I've rocked through like, you know, probably 20 to 30 of them, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is Seven Card Games from Sarasos Media, 500 points. This is exactly what it sounds like. Moving along,
seven card games.
Yeah, moving
there
along,
there are seven card games, and you can play them.
Yeah, we also have AI Race or Air Race.
Air Race.
From Cubic Games. This is interesting, actually, because one of the modes from Air Race came out as a separate DSiWare release back in January.
Really?
So basically, I think they asked you to pay for a demo of this game several months before the game came out. They just didn't bill it as such, which is kind of...
Well, they didn't bill it as such, but I'm pretty sure when Air Race, whatever the hell it was called...
Tunnels,
before that came out, there was a trailer that was like, oh, Air Race Tunnel is coming out, and then Air Race is coming out in a couple months. So it's not like this is completely unknown.
But yeah, it's basically a racing game with planes. I don't know much else about it. It looked kind of cool from the press release. But other than that, I don't think it's anything all that revolutionary. Surviving High School from EA, 800 points. Now, I think this is sort of like a graphic adventure.
Okay, I was assuming it was going to be lots and lots of pornography.
That's how you survive high school. I mean, that's how I got through it. I don't know about you guys.
Lots and lots of beach volleyball.
Yeah,
Zach's gonna
love this game.
Mm-hmm.
Center score high. Yeah, this is totally a porn.
Good lord. Yeah, I think it's a graphic novel. I don't know. I kind of
it's one of like EA had all those game, Flips games that came out
completely without having done any research of that. Take that for a grain of salt. Take that with a grain of salt.
wait, you play the premier football season storyline plus 7 episodes for hours of gameplay. Kick off your story-driven adventures as the new kid in school. See if you can earn a spot on the football team and win the heart of cheerleader Beth or goth girl Raven. You can get custom looks, meet other kids who can help or hurt you. You cause all the drama! Exclamation point.
Don't
continue to play. Continue to play as different guys or girls in other storylines. You can work at a bakery or take on a local mobster. What the fuck? Try out for the school play. Meet challenges on the tough side of town. You can even travel to Europe. Master intense minigame. Holy shit, this game is ridiculous.
I mean, is this only $8? So, I mean, you know, I don't know in high school, but for me, it was all
taking
about
on local mobsters.
It's all about, you know, taking on local monsters, banging goth girls, and winning the hearts of cheerleaders.
What actually surprised me about this is whenever they put out the press release on Mondays that kind of highlights what games are coming out, they always pick like one or two to sort of highlight in the opening paragraph, and this was one of them for this week. So, and it's 800 points, so clearly EA thinks it's worth some money. I don't know much
about it.
Well,
it looks like there's a shit ton of content in this game. Like, you play the premier football season storyline, and there's 7 episodes. And there's also, you can get a bonus episode after you earn the 4, in quotation marks, great endings. And wait. This is the best. The last 2 sentences of this is, the game looks awesome on the Nintendo DSi system, which you hold sideways like a book. Best high school game ever.
Holy crap. That's fantastic.
I mean, when I just hear great endings.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what ending did you get? I got the great ending.
It was also the happy ending, if you know. Yeah. That's how you
feel. I also love how they're just like, the game looks awesome.
If you get the bad ending, then you must have played it, like, completely wrong, so.
Exactly.
There is no bad ending.
Like, totally. Like, you got the goth girl pregnant.
Should have worn a rubber, dude. Game over.
You accidentally, like, fed the goth girl to the mobster. Exactly. Oh, Lord. Moving on from surviving high school, we have a trio of Game & Watch. This is, the third newscast in a row I've been able to tell you this. Donkey Kong Jr., Flagman, and Ball. They'll all cost you 200 points. You know what you're getting with these. If you've ever seen a Game & Watch game before, it's simulated LCD goodness. And then the last thing up is My Postcards, which is probably from the coolest sounding game developer ever called
No. It's like Vader at the end of Pacific.
Exactly.
Although I use the term game developer loosely because this is a postcard game, so it's 200 points, and if you really want to send someone a postcard from your DS, well, this is how you would go doing that.
Can you draw them?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
Because if so, this is a brand new avenue for Dicto Chat.
This is a brand new avenue for Zach Miller.
Dicto Mail.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord, I hope so. Also, I hope not. Simultaneously, I hope not. Moving on to Virtual Console, we have Zaxxon. That's an arcade game from Sega. It'll cost you 800 points.
It's crazy
overpriced shooter. I think it was sort of one of the first games to simulate 3 dimensions. Mm-hmm. I haven't played it, but I've seen video of it, and it looks like it'd be kind of hard to play. But apparently, it was a pretty big deal back in its day.
It was a pretty big deal about 30 years ago.
Right, like 1982, I think is when it came out.
Like, it's not worth however much it is.
Yeah. And then Mega Man 4 for the NES, which
Hell
is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
If you were
here's
looking
a
to get
fun fact, Mega Man 4 was my first Mega Man game.
Oh, nice.
My first was actually Mega Man 6, but that's just because I'm young. And then
I'm actually younger than you are.
Yeah.
I think my first was Mega Man 2, but it might have actually been Mega Man 1 because I am old.
No, here's the funny thing. My first Mega Man game was Mega Man 4. My second Mega Man game, Mega Man Legends.
Wow, that's a stretch.
I think mine was 6, 3, then 2, because my friend had 6 on original Nintendo, and then when I got an original Nintendo, I got 3, mm-hmm. And then we heard how good 2 was, and then we found a ROM of 2 and played that.
Okay.
Very nice. Yeah, 2 was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love 2 so much.
4 is still pretty good. I mean, I've heard that people say that 4 is one of the weaker ones of the NES games, but as far as I'm concerned, all 6 of those games are pretty much top-notch action.
The first one kind of blows, but that's just because it's like they didn't figure it out yet. And all the other games, they figured it out.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you hear about Mega Man 2 and how, you know, they didn't want to make it. Capcom didn't want to make it. And Keiichi Yano basically, like, made it in his spare time.
Oh, yeah. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. Basically, like, Capcom was like, no, we're not going to do a second Mega Man game. The first one didn't sell enough. This series is dead. And so he basically, like, he would work through the day, and then at the end of the day, he and a couple other guys would work on Mega Man 2. So that's
lightning in a bottle there.
It is totally, like, a labor of love kind of game.
That's awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That explains a lot, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to kind of give a quick note, since we're talking about Mega Man again. I know, I think when we did the Mega Man 2 Game Club discussion, I mentioned about a Mega Man marathon that I was doing.
Yes.
That's still in the works. It just got delayed a little bit because me and the people that I would be doing with it are all very busy, and we need to have time to plan this. And we're all in school and working.
After finals.
Yes.
I still have that controller for you whenever you need it, Neil. Just shout out, and I'll package it off and mail it to you. So that's all we have for the downloads over the last couple of weeks. Nothing super big. Pretty light load for the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's the same applies to the retail releases. There was actually no Wii or DS releases this week, except for Monster Hunter Tri and Beat City.
Actually, there was another one. Didn't All-Star Karate, another THQ title like Beat City, came out? That's kind of like that All-Star Cheer Squad, except for it's karate and it uses Wii Motion Plus.
You may be correct about that. I might have missed one. I was thinking there was only two, but yeah, that's possible. But Beat City is basically sort of like a I watched the YouTube trailer for it and look kind of like
Rhythm Heaven.
Yeah.
It's kind of like THQ's version of Rhythm Heaven. I think it's like $20. I feel like it's a kind of a smaller version of it. I actually played, they have a Facebook application. We posted a news story about it, and I was playing the Facebook application. I was just like, this is like Rhythm Heaven, except for kind of not as good, but still okay.
The art style
doesn't have the Nintendo polish, but it seems like, you know, if you like Rhythm Heaven and you want more, it's $20. It's Beat City.
It was all hand-drawn sprites, which looked kind of cool. Like the trailer made it look like it looked pretty decent.
Right. Yeah, and I know I was reading Nintendo Power, and they give it a pretty good score. I think we should be getting a review copy, so...
Very nice.
Someone should be looking at it.
Very nice. And that's it for retail releases. It's a pretty light load, and there's not much for downloads, not much for retail releases. There's not much new in the last couple of weeks, just so you have time to go play what's already come out this year so far.
Although, I mean, this is kind of like, April has been kind of a dead month.
Yeah.
Every system. It's, like, I think...
It's the road to May, you know?
Yeah. May, Maypocalypse, third Christmas, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But May's got a shit ton of games, I guess, if we want to just mention a few of those. Like, at least from Nintendo, we got Picross 3D and Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting both those.
All tons of stuff for every other system.
Yeah.
Making my eyes water and my wallet cry.
if you haven't pre-ordered Mario Galaxy 2 yet, I think Amazon still has the $20 credit towards another game if you pre-order it there. So
that's pretty cool.
This is true.
Go check that out if you're interested in Mario Galaxy 2 and you plan on buying another video game at some point in the future. That's definitely a good way to go.
Like Metroid Other M.
Yeah,
but you'll have to wait 2 more months for that. Ah.
Oh no! That sucks. Yeah, Picross DS. I'm looking forward to that as well. Like, actually, I'm getting pretty excited about that. So,
yeah,
I'm on the review for that. So I'll be talking about that sometime in the next couple
hopefully
of episodes.
You'll get that before your next episode.
Do you have any any reviews that you're going to be starting up in the next week or so to preview next episode?
Shit, I'm trying to think. I don't think I got anything coming up soon. I mean, I have Monster Hunter Tri, but both John Lindemann and I both got review copies of that.
Sure.
And I think he's going to be writing the review, and then we're going to be, you know, doing crazy stuff at the NWR Monster Hunter Club. I think we might have a someone from Capcom might actually join us at some point.
Oh, that's awesome.
When we're
that's
doing
very
that.
Cool.
So that should be going places, and I'm really excited to get into that. I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't know who's going to get Beat City. I might wind up with that. I don't know. I can't really think of anything. I have a DSiWare game that I got, Globs, Globulous Party, which is kind of like this, it's a physics-based, for fun, like a physics sandbox game almost, where, you play these little balls and you just kind of use the DS screen and fling them around. It's a DSiWare title. It's kind of fun. I haven't really gotten too much into that, but I should be writing a review of that soon.
Next game I have up for review is Bermuda Triangle, Saving the Coral Reef, or saving the coral, I guess. The reef is implied.
It's
a puzzle game on DS. I've played it just a little bit so far. I've actually had it for a little while now, but Deca Sports took precedence. It's kind of a weird little puzzle game, but it actually was a little more fun than I gave it credit for on name alone. So I'll be talking about that next week, and then hopefully Picross shortly after that.
Awesome. Well, if everyone else is done, I'd like to pimp a few things, if that's all right, Andy?
Yeah, go for it.
Alrighty. Well, folks, as you probably know at this point, I am back on the website, back at NWR, not to be reviewing too many games, but just to be writing some alternative content, as I've discussed with Lindy. One of the big things that I want to bring is just some really cool features to you guys. So by the time this podcast comes out, you can see Reset Button. Reset Button is going to be a really cool feature where I'll be talking to people who've made really, really old games, and so I interview them about making those games and then their experience in the gaming industry in general. It should be a lot of fun, and then also it's a dual project where you'll also be getting an audio interview either in a regular episode of RFN or, as the case will be this week, in its own episode of RFN. So basically, what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to, if you listen to the feed, RFN's going to be taking a week off, but you'll actually get that whole episode of Reset Button, quote-unquote. So you'll be able to hear my full interview with Graham Devine on the wonders of the Silver Surfer on NES. Trying to think of anything else that I'm going to be pimping. Oh, yes, the mailbag. The mailbag is back.
Excellent. So, that's very exciting.
Yeah. I'm super excited about having the mailbag back. It was always one of my favorite features. And, I'm super excited about it. So go ahead and send all of those questions that you want to hear, read about on the website. Send those to mailbag@nintendoworldreport.com. Not bag as it used to be, but mailbag@nintendoworldreport.com. And keep in mind, we are keeping the question pool separate from Radio Free Nintendo. So if you want it to be on the site and not on the podcast, be sure to send it to mailbag. And if you want it on the podcast, be sure to send it to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. So yeah, those are my plugs, basically. Oh, also, Talk 112 fans, something is a-brewing.
Really?
Yeah, keep an eye out. There's something coming.
Very good, very good.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll put an ad out either on RFN or maybe even here on the newscast. Who knows?
Excellent, excellent. Well, yeah. It looks like Neil's been cut off from us, but
we're trying to get back.
Hey, oh, he Neil's back.
I'm back.
Welcome
just
back.
Just in the meantime, just as I finished all of my pimping.
Oh, well, what were you pimping?
Of course, nothing but the mailbag, and reset
the
button.
Fucking mailbag, man.
Yeah, dude, I'm all about the mailbag right now.
I had just emailed the staff about 2 months ago or so, asking if the mailbag was ever coming back, and we had talked about it briefly, but nothing ever came of it. So
really,
yeah,
I can't imagine a world where people don't want the mailbag.
I know, right?
That seems crazy to me.
Well, we've seemed to have lost Neil again,
and Neil's gone again. Uh-oh. Yeah.
Well, it is definitely good to have you back on the staff, Carl.
It's been a lot of fun so far, and more fun things are coming, so keep an eye out.
Definitely. And that's all we really got for you this week on the NWR Newscast. Come back in 2 weeks. We'll have another episode for you. RFN is back next week. Keep an ear out for Reset Button, mm-hmm. which should be coming to you very shortly.
Actually, by the time this is up, it's actually going out midnight tonight that we're recording, so it should be already up as we speak.
Awesome. Very good. That's all we got for you. Thanks for tuning in to NWR Newscast. We'll see you next time.
See you next time, folks.
Bye.